Driving guard Gatlinburg.
They've got something new now. It's called the press box.
You're back in the press box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show right now. It's Press Box with Nick and myself till 4. Hey, the Blitz is back. Fred, AJ, Aaron, they're going to take you from 4 to 7.
Although AJ said he's beat. He's tired.
So yeah, he might fall asleep. Coach got himself a chip last night.
I saw that. So is that his son's team that won the championship?
Yeah, his son pitched the championship game. He was saying it might be a late night, but his son was on the bump. They got themselves a win, won themselves a tournament, got themselves a trophy, and forced us all to see AJ wear bowling clothes and shorts.
Well, I don't know if he was just trying to, like, make excuses, but he said he was beat. So I don't know if he's going to even show up, to be honest with you.
That's fine. I mean, he's here. I've seen him.
He might be a no-show today on the Blitz. I'm just kidding. He's back. Him and Fred are back from 4 to 7. And so is Charlie Polillo.
Charlie's back. Kudos to all the guys that filled in for the Blitz. Patrick Creighton and Moneyline with Jerry and Josh.
Play some bird sounds. Tyler told me you should play some bird sounds at the start of the show, and I did. He really thought there was some birds in the studio, probably.
Was he at least fun and games about it, or was he all business today?
No, he was fun and games. He had a good little time. He actually, Tyler saved him because you didn't have his, obviously you haven't seen Charlie since he was gone.
Right.
And so you had his laptop charger.
Yep.
And his laptop was just sitting on the desk, just dead, just nothing but decor for about the first 15, 20 minutes of the show.
Wait, time out. He's gone all that time. You or I would have gone to the damn Apple store and bought another one.
Nope.
And just had one in reserve.
Not Charlie Polillo.
He didn't
Polillo.
Use his computer the whole time because he didn't want to buy it. Oh, my God.
Well, he conserved as much energy as he probably could, and then it died before he got to the station, I think.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, he was waiting for your. He had to give the charger back to Tyler. So did you give him back his?
Yeah, I gave it back to him as soon as I walked in the studio.
Yeah, I probably would have dropped the 80 or 90 bucks. Because, look, I think Macs are, you know what, PC laptop chargers are probably just as expensive. I would have dropped the 80 bucks, too.
I would bet ours is, because I need a new one for this MacBook. I would bet it's, what, 40, 50 bucks?
No, it's probably more than that. For a Mac?
You think so?
Yeah. If I had to take a guess, it's probably 80. But I could be wrong.
Wow.
If I had to take of a Mac, like a MacBook laptop charger?
MacBook Air, yep.
I would imagine 80 bucks, but okay. I could be wrong.
Still fine. I just hope it works.
Well, you're big time Joel Blank.
No.
You're rolling it in. So
No. See, because the last time I've already told you this, my biggest bitch with Apple, aside from the fact that they always make their products intentionally stop doing things so that you have to upgrade, which they got caught for.
Yep.
My other thing is that if you remember, I was cleaning my keyboard with a wipe and it got the keys wet, and somehow when I took it in, they told me that I had to replace the keyboard and the battery while I was at it. So I replaced both. Never had a problem with the keyboard. The battery, basically, if it's not plugged in, it'll shut down within 3 minutes now. And that happened after about a month and a half to 3 months of, and with the pandemic, the stores were closed. I couldn't even take it back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do people pay all this money for Apple just so they can get at the absolute runaround?
I tell you what, I've enjoyed my PC, my desktop. So they are slowly turning me off with their laptops. I'm not going to lie. I do appreciate the fact that it runs smooth and it doesn't really get viruses. But the PC that I just bought has been pretty friendly. So
yours is a Mac as well, right?
This laptop is, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've got a twist for you, Nicholas, from hour number one.
Okay.
So as part of our number one's festivities, aside from sports, we were talking about the fact that there was an actual live tiger loose in the memorial area over the weekend, and that the authorities were trying. The guy got away with the tiger that actually went outside, eventually kissed it on the head, grabbed it by the collar.
Wait a second, this guy's on the run still?
Not only is he on the run, Nick, but police say the man who owns the tiger that was seen wandering in the Houston neighborhood is out on bond for murder in Fort Bend County, and police tried to stop him before he sped off with the tiger in his Jeep. The man currently is still on the run.
What in the world? So he's out on murder in Fort Bend County?
Correct.
Is this the dude that had the this is not the dude that had the son that he killed, right? or the wife and son, or wife and daughter in Sugarland. Can't be the same dude.
I don't think so.
I doubt it. But anyway,
so he is, and I'm trying. The story won't open right for me right on Twitter, but according to KPRC News, he is on the run. They still have yet to find him, and he is out on bond and wanted for murder.
The best thing is how big this. Apparently, this guy is like a little dude. Apparently, he's like 5'7".
Oh, I saw it. I thought he was a teenager when I saw him actually, because they have video of him grabbing the cat by the collar. And I'm like, boy, he must be really close with that tiger to be able to just grab it by the collar and yank it.
Yeah. Well, see, people just have, like, some people just love animals so much that they're kind of fearless when it comes down to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a friend, she works at, what was the sanctuary that she worked at? I think it was for wolves. From, I don't know what, it was someone in Texas. And the way she approaches wild animals is just unreal. Like, she's absolutely fearless. So maybe that's the situation with this guy, but... Yeah, I'm not about that life. I am not about that. I am the worst. I would be the worst person to have in that situation if there was a tiger in front of me. Because honestly, and this might make me sound like an absolute wuss, but I'd be afraid to shoot it. You would think the tiger couldn't run through that damn first bullet, right?
So that would be my bigger issue. Like, if you have to protect yourself as much as I know, and I know how much my wife loves animals. But you have to protect yourself first and foremost.
I'm okay with him shooting
lunging
it, by
at
the way.
You yeah. or lunging at whoever.
Shoot him right between the eyes. Absolutely.
But the thing is, you better be real accurate in knowing where that first shot goes and what it's going to do. Because if you shoot it in just like the hind quarter or something like that, and it's still got some energy left in it, you are done.
You better hope he bleeds quickly. You know what I mean? Or she. Because that's what I would be afraid of. And he just seemed too close. Like, he felt like, from the picture that I saw on TMZ, like, maybe he just had an incredible confidence in his gun. I don't know how powerful it was, but I'd just be afraid to shoot it. You know what I mean?
So they have pictures at click2houston.com of this guy as he's reeling the tiger in. But the authorities are on the lookout currently to try and find what they believe to be is a 5'8" tall, 130-pound male. 28 he's like, years
Altuve.
Old.
He's like 2 inches taller than Altuve.
5'8", 130. 130.
That's nothing, dude.
No.
That is nothing.
28 years old.
Could you? And the tiger probably sleeps in the same bed. He's probably just like cuddling with the tiger. He's 130 pounds. The tiger's like 300. How much does a tiger weigh? I don't know.
Oh, my God. This
probably 300 pounds.
Oh, more than that. This, and you can look at the pictures, but this tiger's got to be at least 500 pounds.
So a male is 200 to 680, and a female is 140 to 370, according to the Googles. So if it's a male, it has the potential of reaching 700 lbs. That's a lot. I wouldn't want to be sleeping next to a 700-pound tiger. I'll pass. Why don't you sleep next to your mother?
Dre said, is that Palillo? That's not nice. Plus, that's way too tall for Charlie. The weight is on right. The weight is on point.
No, the weight is on point because he revealed
his weight.
He's
135, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on the tiger stuff. Like, I don't get it. I get people that love animals. Look, your wife loves animals. She's not going around keeping a damn tiger in her house. You know what I mean? Like, just because you love animals doesn't mean you keep them as pets. It's unreal.
Can I just tell you this, too, by the way? She came in the house. I won't even mention her by name because that evidently gets under the skin of some people. She comes in the house. I think it was last night. She's like, babe, and she's almost in tears. I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, you know my bug catcher? I go, yeah. She goes, well, there was a small fly that I was trying to get out of the house, and it was on the wall. So I used the bug catcher. I go, okay. She goes, but I used the wrong end, and I ended up killing it. And I
go, you can't be throwing her under the bus like that.
Oh, my God. It just shows how much she cares. I go, Lisa, if you think for an instant I'm going to, like, have any bit of emotion about the fact that the little fly didn't make it, it's not going to happen.
Screw that damn fly.
Exactly. Your dumb ass flew into my house and annoyed me. I don't care. So, yeah, that's the level that she takes it. Because now, when she saw this story, she also referenced the fact that I think Lizzie Fletcher and someone else locally has started a big campaign to try and prevent people from actually keeping big cats and large animals like that should be in the wild in their houses.
The fact that people need to be educated on that, it kills me. I still can't get over that. The fact that you can be a grown-ass man, in this case, 28 years old.
Well, almost grown. 130 pounds.
Like, and you have no idea, like, you just, or maybe he's smart enough to know and he just doesn't care. I can see that, too. But still, it's a damn tiger, man. I'm not doing that.
No, and that's the thing. Even with certain breeds of dogs and otherwise, and even with as many fosters as we've had, where you just don't know the background the dogs have had, when you think about how they can snap sometimes, but then you think about the fact that you don't know what it took to get this cat from into captivity.
Yeah. You don't know if that cat has been messed with.
In your house, right? You don't know what it's been through. You don't know when it's going to snap or if it's going to snap. And if it does, you sure as damn well hell don't know how you're going to get out of it alive.
I feel like McNair would be dumb enough to say something like that. I'll just keep the tiger.
We're going to build a wall.
No.
I wonder if I could teach the tiger to play video games, because then I could keep it in my office and we could both sit on the floor. Mark, that would be cool.
Mark on Twitter said, Nick used to sleep with 700-pound chicks, but not a 700-pound tiger. She wasn't 700 pounds.
Oh, boy.
She was closer to 3. What, you read the text message?
No, I'm just going to leave it here.
What? It was obviously something on text. When you laugh like that, it's something on text.
The fact that you had to, you thought that it was necessary.
Oh, the closer to 3 comment? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to even try and defend that. Someone said, "Dude, Joel, can you kill mosquitoes in your house?" Yeah, every day. Whenever I need to. Yeah.
So if she feels that way about mosquitoes, what if you kill a lizard? Then you're in big trouble.
No, I don't think she feels that way. Sorry, I can't say that. I don't know if she feels that way about mosquitoes, but flies and like the skeeter eaters and all those other things. It's just, I'm like, I don't really understand.
Kill the lizards. They just kind of get smashed in between the door and the little door frame. It's unintentional. Like, I've got a lizard that's dead in between the door and the door frame. It's been dead, just smushed there for about 6 months. Not going anywhere.
It's still there?
Yep.
That's a pretty clean house.
Yep.
All right. We'll continue to roll. Hour number 2, 3-hour program. Give us a call if you'd like. I just got confirmation, Nicholas. The soon-to-be, as in this weekend, Hall of Famer, Rudy Tomjanovich, is going to join us tomorrow in the show.
Yeah,
so
buddy.
So that should be a fun addition to the program. But for the rest of the day, we've got plenty more on the agenda, so stay right where you are. It is the Press Box. It is ESPN. I'm to the point like the
pyramids of Giza. ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through our number 2, 3-hour program. Press Box ESPN on a Monday. Astros home for the Angels tonight. Angels yet to name a starter. They did take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers this weekend, and I was torn between who I should be rooting for. I want the Angels to lose because they're in the Astros division, but I always want the Dodgers to lose because they're the Dodgers.
Of course.
And so,
I still feels better when the Dodgers lose.
Boy, have they been losing lately?
It always feels better when the Dodgers lose.
I saw some numbers. After starting out the season like 15-3, I think they're 5-18 over their last 20-some games.
It is starting to get to the point where you can't keep saying, oh, it's early. It's early, for sure. You got plenty of time to turn things around, but 5-18, like, that's way below 500. Not good. I would imagine they'll get out of their slump in some way, shape, or form, but it does.
No, they're too good. They spend too much money.
Yeah, right.
Now, someone tagged me yesterday on a whole docuseries on how Trevor Bauer has come over to the dark side, and now he cheats.
Yeah, and I need you to fill me in on this particular situation, because I did not read up on this whole Trevor Bauer situation. But
For those that don't know, he and Garrett Cole were teammates at UCLA. They hate each other. And it started with Bauer calling out Garrett Cole and saying when he came to the Astros from Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden his spin rate went way up and his dominance went way up, and he became an all-star. essentially, without saying it, Bauer was saying he was cheating and he was using some pine tar or something that was helping him to suddenly have this massive surge in spin rate. He's also subsequently, at from time to time, dropped hints to the media and mentioned and referenced the games and the innings that he did so, in which he, without admitting it again, alluded to the fact that if you look at the spin rate during that inning versus other innings, you can see what I'm talking about, as he was referring to Cole, meaning the one inning that he decided to go to the pine tar, his spin rate went through the roof.
Right.
Now, coincidentally or not, and maybe because he saw Cole get the massive money and realized that if you can't, you know, if you can either beat him by beating him down and taking shots at him, or you can join him and you can get paid. But for whatever the reason, those innings where he did use something and had the spin rates where they were, now consistently all last year and this year, those are his spin rates. So something changed, something dramatic. And he said it isn't this crazy off-season workout thing he does where he tries to, you know, throw through baseballs through like screen doors and all kinds of crap right. that he does, weird stuff that he does. So they were insinuating with this video that he is now using something, pine tar or otherwise, because the stories are out there with Gerrit Cole and others that are talking about the clubhouse guy in Anaheim that was finally fired because they were upset he was helping all the visiting team pitchers, but they had text messages from Cole and others that said, hey, Bubba or Sparky, whatever this guy's name is, you still got the stuff because I'm coming in and I'd really like it and blah, 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 blah. And so they were trying to use this, and they could never prove it because they couldn't pinpoint what the stuff was. But this document that was, this video that was sent to, I don't know if you got it too, but when it was sent to me yesterday and I watched the whole thing, they talked about the fact that it didn't necessarily have to be pine tar. In certain instances, they said the residue from a marijuana pipe, if mixed the right way.
Okay, that's BS. But here's the reason why I say that's BS. Because the residue, like resin, is going to stink like crazy. And it's going to smell.
Like weed?
Yes. Okay. And the other thing is, it's going to be basically impossible for you to get it off that that baseball just using your hands. Like, okay, you're going to literally need to scrub that thing off to get
resin. That was referenced, but they said it was weird. All the different things, there was like a mix between like Coca-Cola, the residue from like Coca-Cola syrup.
I can see that.
And all different ways that guys were trying to perfect, and they think that this clubhouse guy had perfected some recipe, literally,
yeah,
to make a substance that worked best and ideally for pitchers.
And look, maybe there is ways you can do that. Look, for the Coke thing is interesting, dude. You back in the day, people literally used to put that on their battery terminals
and handlebars of bikes. It takes rust off.
Yeah. Correct. So that part's interesting. I can assure you, it's not resin from.
I'll get you the actual audio and find what they said. Let me know.
I'll get it.
Because they said that was one of the mixes that did what was necessary to do.
I always thought it's weird for someone, like when you're a good pitcher, to sit there and point out that others are cheating and then go as far as being specific as to which particular pitches you thought he was cheating on. Dangerous game to play if you're a baseball pitcher, in my opinion. I don't know what Trevor Bauer's up to, if he just enjoys the attention and he's a troll, but that's a dangerous game to play. Because I would imagine many pitchers at that level have cheated or used pine tar or something like that. Just an interesting approach to take, pointing out that not only are pitchers are cheating, but pointing out specific pitches that they're cheating on. You wouldn't think that would happen in baseball, but it does.
They said sometimes sunscreen mixed with rosin mixed with something, and that's what the guys will put on their arm.
Okay.
And it's, you were tagged on this from Greg yesterday on Twitter, where they run down, but I'm going to run during the break. I'm going to try and find the audio of where they run down all the different mixes. But look, I did that video a while back on all the Red Sox pitchers during the Astros playoff series that weren't even shy about putting it on their forearms and in the pocket of their mitts and on their hats. And then Barry and I had a conversation one night, and he asked me to ask some of the former players that I knew if it was true. But he noticed that the catchers looked like that after every pitch were going behind their shin guard. And sure enough, one of the guys that used to play in the bigs came back to me and said, absolutely, catchers keep pine tar behind one shin guard. because if it's cold, especially, not only does it help them when throwing to second, but from time to time it can help if he, when he's getting the ball from the umpire and then he touches that, it can help the pitcher to get on their fingers what they need to get a better grip.
Yeah, I can totally see him because it's probably easy. It looks like their hand is supposed to be around their shin guard a lot of part of the time. So it's probably easy to kind of get away with it. If you're not really paying attention, I can see how you can kind of, you know, reach for the pine tar behind the shin guard. So I'm not shocked at that at all. But I do find it interesting. Why don't we do like a little test and have you, we'll have you throw a baseball without pine tar. And then we'll have you throw a baseball with pine tar, and then we'll check the spin rate, and we'll, why don't you just use your arm?
I'm not against it, except for the fact that you do realize and remember that in the last couple of months, I had some major issues with my shoulder all of a sudden.
But yeah, you're fine. Yeah, you're young. You'll off, heal.
Yeah, it's no problem, right?
Yeah, you'll heal.
We can find somebody that could probably do that. But, you know, the thing is, it's weird. It's so quirky about Trevor Bauer because you want to hate him, and especially because he's taking shots at the Astros, and it would be ironic that he took so many shots at the Astros for cheating and wore the cleats and all the other things that he said and done with Bregman and otherwise, and then all of a sudden he would be rung up for cheating. Because remember, now at the start of the year when they said they were cracking down on baseballs, they sent several baseballs from the game he was pitching to the league office.
But the league did say in a memo that they were going to do that anyway.
Yep. They said they were going to check throughout the league consistently all year, but it had to. The reason why those balls were picked and sent were because there was something that caught someone's eye that said,
in particular about
this,
Trevor
looks
Bauer's
like it's
ball.
Been doctored, yeah. Doctored, and they were Bauer's balls that he had during that game. So I don't know, but it's just weird to me that there's a likability factor sometimes with the guy because
there
he's
is.
So outspoken and he's not afraid with Twitter and otherwise. But then he can be such an a-hole that you're just like, man, get out of here.
Yeah, and I think that YouTube channel is kind of dangerous because a lot of times what he uses his YouTube channel for is to point out stuff like that. So, like, you're playing a game and you're making a YouTube channel. You have a YouTube channel. I'm not saying that's the only reason why his YouTube channel exists, but a lot of it is about doctoring the ball and using pine tar and cheating in baseball. And when you're that guy, you can basically never get caught cheating. You just can't because it's going to be such a bad, bad look if you're this guy trying to be a police, trying to police everything or just trying to point out everybody that's cheating. You know, when you live up to that standard and you try to make yourself to be this example, you have to be up there the entire career. Otherwise, one little mishap, one little mistake makes you look so bad.
Think about the guys that had the audacity to file a lawsuit against the Astros because they said that their cheating scandal cost them their career.
Yeah, get out of here.
So at the same time, you know that it's so competitive for jobs and there's only so many jobs to be had, especially for pitchers on a yearly basis in Major League Baseball, that if you can get a competitive advantage, especially since Major League Baseball hasn't really done a whole lot to crack down unless it's blatant and right. You can see the pine tar. So it's in the best interest of the player to at least experiment with it, see, because some guys, it'll feel funny and they won't like it and they just feel like it's not for them. And other guys will see that spin rate increase to that level and go, in order to have a competitive advantage and stay competitive within the league and have a job, I'm going to need to do this. And right. If I get caught, oh well.
Yeah.
Someone said, dang, Joel, you got shoulder herpes too. No, that's Lance. I've got it.
I had a partially torn
labrum, and they said I wouldn't need surgery if I let it heal, and it has gotten better, and I'm back lifting weights again. I haven't tried to throw a baseball yet. I can shoot a basketball, and that's all I care about. I'm not trying to play baseball anymore.
It'd be kind of funny to see you throw the ball and hurt yourself, though.
No, that wouldn't be funny. Unless I was throwing a ball at you and in the process of hurting myself,
that would be funny too.
I hit you with the ball.
That would be funny too.
Yes, it would.
I admit that. I admit that. That'd be funny because you could probably throw the ball pretty hard still.
Oh, yeah. And like, I aim it right at
you. Think you can get into the 90s, 80s, high 80s?
Someone called me out on this the last time because I legitimately thought
I could. We had this discussion before?
Yeah, yeah. I think I could. Well, and now with if my shoulder was 100% healthy, I think I could get it around 80.
Okay. Did someone call you out on this? I don't remember.
Well,
yes,
yeah, so I remember someone said, because I thought I topped out at like 90, 91 in college, and I thought that I could get somewhere in like the low to mid 80s, and they were like, no way in hell. And I'm like, you don't know me. But at the same time, I don't realize because it's been so long since I pitched.
Because you could literally right now, and I'm not trying to be funny or call you old or anything, but this could happen to anybody who's not throwing a baseball all the time. And you decide all of a sudden to pick up a ball and throw it, you could just
when I saw the
mess
doctors,
around and tear something
they said
just from one throw.
I had plenty of little tears in my rotator, and in my shoulder dating all the way back to college. But because you're young and resilient, your body kind of heals itself. All of a sudden, when you get older,
it's like it doesn't want to do that no more.
No, when it healed itself, that scar tissue becomes irritated, and now you're not, you're not as resilient as well. And then it ends up like being a hindrance and stopping your arm movement. So that's that. All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show comes up next. Lots more to talk about, and that includes you guys with calls, text, Twitch, you name it, we got it. It's the Press Box at ESPN.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So, we don't do this as much as Granado does, but 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show. If you missed any of the golf this weekend, couple of small notes on golf.
Hopefully very small notes.
But because they're good stories, Nick, not because I'm going to bore you to death with how everything went down. Rory won the tournament, okay? Rory McIlroy won a tournament for the first time in 18 months. I'm not going to commend Rory McIlroy. You know who I'm going to commend? His caddy, who I think he should have called out more, given more credit to, and probably should have given more money to. Rory went into the last hole of the whole tournament with a two-shot lead. All he had to do was get bogey or better and win the tournament. He even teed off with a 3-wood instead of a driver so he could stay away from the water, yet lo and behold, he hooked the hell out of a 3-wood and put it right on the fringe of the water in deep grass. He was going to try and chip out and then on a very long iron shot try and get it on the green and then try and 2-putt so that he could get bogey and probably a lot worse could happen. Right before he decided to hit that wedge shot, his caddy said, "You know, Rory, rethink this. Instead of trying to hit it out of this really tall grass right next to the water where you can only hit it about 30, 40 yards, why don't you take a penalty which allows you to take it out of the high grass, place it in the shorter grass, you can actually get a clean shot towards the green."
Genius idea.
He took the caddy's advice, which a lot of pros won't do either because they think that they know it all. He listened to the caddy instead of doing it his way. He knocked an iron shot to the middle of the green, two-putted and tapped in for an easy bogey.
And he didn't give the guy credit, like, after the tournament?
I was shocked. He didn't call him out by name or give him any credit. It was the way the people that covered the tournament, from the TV guys to the reporters that wrote the story, saying credit should be given to his caddy.
Yeah. He used the rules. He played within the rules.
Just played it to a T.
He finessed the game, essentially.
Yeah, and Rory was, it's been a long time, and I've won here for the third time, and my family and my new daughter. It's like, hey, Rory, you should probably be really singing the praises of your caddy.
Yeah, put some respect on your caddy, bro.
And here's the other thing, Nick, where the other story coming out of this, you feel sorry for a guy sometimes, but then you don't. Bryson DeChambeau, increasingly by the day, popular golfer that does everything with numbers. Someone didn't give him the right numbers after round two of the tournament, and he was led to believe that he missed the cut. So he got on his private plane in Charlotte.
And
flew back to Dallas. And I guess either during the flight, they couldn't really get to him, or at a certain point at when the flight at 3 or 4 in the morning, they got word to him that he actually did make the cut. So he jumped back on the plane, flew back to Charlotte, got there in time to make his tee time, got off to a phenomenal start, and had like 5 birdies. Then he double bogeyed the last hole, but he was in contention. He finished 9th, which he wouldn't have done if he didn't turn around and go back. Do you know what he made for 9th place, Nick?
How much?
$228,000.
Good for you. He made it in time, didn't he?
I think that'll cover the expenses for the plane. Plane probably cost you $10,000.
$10,000, probably.
You won $228,000, bro.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a good payday.
Yeah. I mean, he probably still has to pay his cash. He's still got a massive payday, so it's good for him. And good for him for making it in time for the tee, because if he didn't, he would have missed out on a potential payday, and that's the...
But it shows you how much money's in golf.
Oh, well,
ninth place gets you $228,000. for the Wells Fargo Championship. Now, when you're talking about a major coming up in 2 weeks,
that's, yeah,
Knight's going to get you a whole lot more than
but
that.
But still, for a tournament that small, to get you that kind of money, that's fantastic.
Yep.
Now, I'm normally really, really cool with Yo Adrian.
Oh, and I'm the one that pointed this out to you.
I'm really cool with Yo Adrian, and I appreciate the birthday wishes.
And we let him get away with a lot of, like, shots at us.
Happy birthday at the producer, Nick. Next time I see you, shots in me. Excuse me? What are you saying,
you.
Yo Adrian?
What Next kind of shots time are you trying I see to, you, shots in you.
What kind of shots are you trying to put in me, Yo Adrian?
Hmm.
I'm a pass, homie. I'll take the birthday wishes. But we love Yo Adrian. I think he's out in Austin now. He's no longer.
He did move. But I did respond to him and said, shots in you, ? Truth tweet? ?
Now, I've met his spouse before, so I know he doesn't. But no, I'm just saying.
Yep, and they've been trying to reproduce and a lot of different things. That doesn't get him out of jail on this one, Chief.
All right. I mean, we're happy you're a boxer and a 97.5er, but I'm just, you know.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it right away and went, Nick, did you see what Yo Adrian put? Yeah. So there was that. All right. So, and again, another one with a shoulder herpes comment. That's Lance Zierlein, not me.
Yeah, Zierlein has a shoulder issue. But isn't he past that by now? I figured he'd be past it. I see him exercise in the parking lot every now and then.
I'm sorry? What does he do in the parking lot?
I was walking. Now he's going to be mad that I'm calling him out. But I was walking in. I was walking in to get ready for prep for the first show. And he's like, yeah, I got to do my running, my jog. I'm like, okay. I was like, yeah, because my toe is like killing me. I'm like, okay. He runs like 3 parking spots, dude. Like, he jogs like 3 parking spots. I don't even see him run more than 3. I'm like, is that your jog? Is like, that's your exercise? I didn't ask him that. But I think Lance's exercise is all of 5, maybe 6 minutes. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And I can't mess because I don't exercise.
Yeah, but like.
But that, I think he exercises on the second floor here in the parking lot.
Well, normally in the office, he does laps around the outer walls of our, like, lobby or our outside the office area. But he's normally on the phone.
I know another person that does that too. But here's an indicator too. That, to me, a person who's I'm not going to call them old, that's doing that, like, that's their exercise, means in their 20s and 30s, they never really exercised like me. Like, I did in my 20s, but in my 30s, I really fell off, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in, like, your 50s or 60s and your exercise is just walking around the parking lot, that means you did zero exercise in your 20s and 30s. Is that fair to say?
I think it's pretty cool. I've heard Lance has played basketball back in the day, and he was pretty good. I think during the media classic days that the Rockets used to have, when we used to let the media, like, play 3-on-3.
Because I feel like that's going to happen to me.
Him and Nuno and Raheel won it several times, and they said Lance was pretty good.
But Nuno's always in shape. Sorry, I've worked
and
with
Raheel
Nuno.
And Raheel is, too.
Correct. So he maybe Nuno and Raheel carried
Lance
the weight.
But I heard Lance back in the day, he can play hoops a little bit.
He can? Well, I mean, he's tall, too.
He could. I mean, look, I saw him shoot when they did that 3-point shooting contest that time at the Toyota Center. I saw that he had a decent shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unlike others that were 200%. I'm 200% sure that one guy showed that I got more athleticism in my pinky finger, and especially when it comes to shooting 3.
I feel like I know who you're talking about.
Oh, boy, I've showed you the video, and you went nuts on it. You and Barry both did. And I'm happy to show it to you again.
I remember. I totally remember.
All right, tell me this about this Canelo fight, because here's the thing, and you and I were talking about it during the break. He throws this devastating punch. He catches the guy in the eye. Now it looks like it caused serious damage to his eye. I compared it to when Dale Earnhardt Sr. was in that accident and went down, and I've used this analogy before. To the naked eye, watching the highlight of Dale Sr., it didn't look like it was this big fiery crash with this massive impact that could have killed someone, and yet he died. I saw the punch. I even saw it in replay in slow-mo, and I looked at it, and I thought, boy, the timing was perfect, and it was a great punch. I didn't see it as this, like, head-rocking, body-shattering blow that caused that much damage, but evidently he did.
Yeah, well, when you break an orbital bone, that's never a good thing. Apparently, the orbital bone was broken so bad that his cheekbone kind of caved in as well, and so that's a bad break. And the thing about the eye, and I'm not an eye specialist, but I have experience taking my father to over 20 eye surgeries in the past, there's not really one particular shot or an accumulation of damage that the eye can take before it gives up. Sometimes you can just catch the eye on the wrong spot, and it's life altering. I'll give you an example with another fighter in Michael Bisping. He's always had eye issues. He's always had eye issues, and he didn't want to retire, and he was still competitive. He had one retina issue in one of his eyes. In his last fight, his good eye got messed up. So that's when he made the decision to retire. Why? Because one punch at the right spot can make him go blind. So in Saunders' case, it might be a situation where he didn't have bad eyes. It was just one punch. And if you look at the picture, like it almost looked like it does look like he's being hit directly in the eye. It was just a really, really well, not like you said, timed punch, but also well-targeted punch. I'm not sure that Canelo meant to hit him in his eye. I'm pretty sure he just tried to hit him in his face and he caught his eye. But the orbital bone was so, so bad that his cheekbone kind of caved in. And that's always a scary situation. And honestly, when it comes down to sight, Billy Joe Saunders, I'm not saying he's the richest boxer in the world, but he's probably made a few bucks here and there. If you invested your money well, keep your eyesight, man. But there is a competitive nature to boxers, and they tend to want to. Look, Michael Bisping went back in the cage, even though he knew his eyes were not all there. Finally, his good eye got messed up, and he decided to retire finally. So some people, it's really hard for them to give up, but, I mean, it wasn't intentional. Canelo was winning the fight. And the best thing about the whole situation was Canelo showing some personality in the post-fight press conference. Andrade tried to call him out, and he just says, "Get the bleep out of here before I beat your ass right now." And I was like, wow, Canelo, where is this coming from? Like, you never talk like that. But he told him to get the bleep out of here. He told him he was a terrible fighter, and he told him that he just wants to fight me because I'm the payday. And I was like, wow, Canelo never talks like that, ever. I was glad to see some personality come out of him. So good for him.
How long do you think he stays in it?
Who, Canelo? Fighting. Yeah. He's 30. I mean,
I'm going to say, and he picked up golf, and he's starting to enjoy the life. He was in Tahoe last year with Steph Curry's his boy.
He can't hold all those belts. Like you saw at the end of the fight.
Yeah, he's
he could not hold all his belts.
It's like he's done so much.
He needs a caddy. He needs a golf caddy just to hold the belts. He needs to hire somebody just to hold the belts. He's got every single belt on the planet.
I mean, at a certain point, you just go, "I've done all I can do. It's time for me to get out before I get hurt." And then you can always make a comeback, like everybody seemingly is doing now, no matter how old you are in boxing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's clearly up to him. But the thing is, the Mexican fan base is too strong.
Good point.
I don't see him giving up. Plus, he's a competitor, and he's actually good at what he does. And when and who's a bigger name than Canelo right now in
boxing?
Especially
since we're talking about all the different ways that non-true boxers are making money these days with all these celebrity matches and the
give me a heavyweight
the
outside of Fury that you
ball
know
match and
like was it Anthony Joshua? Ruiz Jr., the guy who just had a fight who shocked Anthony Joshua and then ended up losing in the second fight? Like, who's the big star?
Is it Wilder that's coming back now?
He's gonna eventually face Fury, but I think Fury's going to whip his ass again. But Dante, if he makes his comeback, good. I mean, but I think Fury still kicks his ass.
Well, that's your boxing news. And did you see DK Metcalf this weekend?
Dude, what was the count?
10.37. He ran the 100 in 10.37, and he finished dead last, 9th out of 9. And everybody was hammering him.
I'm glad, because people weren't taking him seriously.
But you know what? If you look at Nick, just like literally, he looked like you could combine 3 or 4 of the other guys in the race, and they still wouldn't be as big as him. He was at least 40, 50 pounds heavier than everyone else on that track. And he hung with him. It wasn't like he got his doors blown off. I mean, he was within a couple of strides. I mean, like a stride and a half. They were all in one big pack, one line that went by. He was just a little behind them. But the fact that he ran a 10.37 as an NFL wide receiver, not a guy that practices track every single day and tries to lose weight and stay slim, was pretty damn impressive.
He probably just started running. He's like, you know what? I am kind of as fast as these guys, you know?
And now, I'm surprised the Seahawks let him do it. Because you could really, you could
yank
a hamstring.
Oh, you could, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. That I would be like, you know, it's cool. And we all saw that when he caught who was it that he caught? Chuba Hubbard? No, not Chuba Hubbard. The Cardinals guy. When he caught him from way back. You just realized he's football fast. Faster than pretty much anybody. How that translates to a track, now we know. But still, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, that is. Because I remember...
We Buda Baker's we call it.
Buda Baker, okay. Because I remember when we were talking about Aaron Foster, like, he was never, like, super fast. He was just... He had good football speed. Like, I don't see a guy like him making that transition. Metcalf, that dude was fast. I saw the... I saw the video and I'm like, yeah, that's...
He was flying in that...
In that Twitter video I saw.
Yeah, so kudos to him for at least giving it a go and realizing from an ego perspective, you weren't going to beat those guys. Those guys are going to the Olympics. Those guys are the world's best. So there's just some other news other than the big three, baseball, basketball, football. We got more to get to. And of course, if there's things you want to chime in and get to us, we'll try and get them as part of the show. 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. It's Nick and Joel. It's the Press Box. ESPN. Lucky.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So, Nick, we should talk some round ball at some point. And one question that I need to ask you right off the top is, when is a nut punch not a technical that will count against the amount of technicals that get you suspended at the end of the year? Because Luka Doncic...
That was hilarious.
...decided to nut punch last night in the Cavaliers game, got thrown out of the game, and then found out after the game... Because it was an ejection it wasn't for complaining, it was for a flagrant foul.
No.
It wouldn't count against the 15 already that he had, which means if he gets one more, he has to sit out a game.
Yeah.
So he was able to nut punch without getting suspended. But he might get suspended for nut punching.
If you ask Sean Salisbury, he's like, he used to do it to Mitch Kupchak. Why can't Luka Doncic do it? You know what I mean? So Sean Salisbury used to give Kupchak the Kupchak.
Well, Chris Paul, as we know, on more than one occasion, has been known to hit someone in the jewels.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Here's the deal. Okay. When you know how when you foul somebody,
yes,
and then the first thing you do as a player is you raise your hand up to let the referee. That was me. I own it. I'm the one.
If you truly did it. Or you committed the foul. Eric Gordon's never done that because sometimes, he's never committed a foul.
Sometimes the trick is to take the foul in favor of the star player, right? That way the star player stays on the floor.
Akeem or whatever, yeah. Yep.
But when you do it after you cup check somebody, it doesn't look like you're trying to be honest. Even it makes it look like you're trying to be dirty, like you're trying to get away with being a dirty player. So you hit somebody in the groin area and you're like, oh, yeah, that was me. It makes the video look so much worse.
Did Luka do that?
I think he did. And Luka didn't look like he – I'm not saying he meant to do it because I genuinely believe it wasn't intentional. Do you believe it was?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
it
was.
No, Nick. If you look at the entire play, Garland started with him and got him pretty good when they were boxing each other out. And Garland kind of got a little bit illegal with a kind of a grab and pull and shot. And Luka retaliated. And you know how they always say the guy who retaliates is the guy who gets caught. He got caught. Garland threw a couple of blows to his ribs. They got tangled up. And that's when Luka turned and got him in the grapes.
Okay. I'm going to go replay it because I felt like he just, you know, raised his hand. I'm like, dude, when you hit somebody and it looks like a cheap shot and then you raise your hand and say, you know, yeah, that was me. It doesn't look like you're being a fair player.
It was Colin Sexton. It wasn't Garland. And man, oh man, Nick, on replay,
it looked like it was a reaction.
Yeah, it was a reaction.
But... No. I think the swing was intentional, but to hit him in the groin area was not.
I agree with that completely.
That's what
100%.
Yeah.
He fully intended to give him a shot.
Correct.
I don't think that he intended
to hit that particular
catch
area
him right
yeah,
where he
that's
caught
it. Okay, yeah. Because I don't think Luka would do that. Now, the good thing I do like about Luka, again, it has to do with the fact that he's young and he knows he's a little bit resilient, is that when someone does kind of test him, he will bark back. Sometimes he'll walk away, mm-hmm. but sometimes he will absolutely bark back. And you have to remember, Luka's not that small. He's kind of a tall
dude.
He's
6'8". People don't realize that.
They don't, because on TV, he looks like a guard, like he's 6'3", 6'4". He's a big dude. He's not small by any stretch of the imagination.
Correct.
So I wouldn't mess with Luka, but no.
He's a bigger guy, and like you said, that's a really valid point that people have to realize. when you show that you are vulnerable when picked on, you're going to get picked on a whole lot more in the NBA, just like in any sport, just like in life. So Luka has to show that he's not going to take any crap from anybody, and I commend him for that. But you also got to be smart. When you know you're one T from being suspended and your team is teetering on the brink of trying to get out of and stay out of the play-in games and stay the five seed where they are now, where they only have a one-game lead over Portland and two over the Lakers, you can't afford to expect to win your last four or five games of the year if Luka's sitting one out.
Yeah. So what's your dirty play? Like when you play basketball, what's your dirty move that you try?
I don't have them.
I used to like step on people's, like if I'm posting up against them, I would step on their shoe before I would shoot it, and it would make the little league referee think that he fouled me. I would do that.
It's funny because Sean Respert and I were talking this weekend about from all of our city league days, like we knew what would trigger him or I and knew that, oh, those are like, and I told you this like 2 weeks ago, someone said something that like in the heyday of when I was just single and playing hoops five nights a week, those are fighting words. And now you got to be smarter about you're not in it to fight anymore. But when you think about the certain words or certain actions, the one that I would always use is when you're boxing someone out and the ball is up on the rim, when everybody's looking at the ball, you can get a whole lot of good free shots in.
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
So in city leagues, if there was a guy that was trying to cheap shot me every now and then, I would always go and try to box him out on a missed shot. And when everybody was watching the ball, that's when you just drill him. You elbow to the ribs, or you just turn and fire. And then the referee wasn't looking. And if they come at you, then they get the punishment.
Now, this is going to make me sound like a dirty player, but I'm going to share some other. Like if they go for a rebound and you box them out while they jump and then they kind of fall down.
Well, you're Bruce Bowen dirty.
Yeah, I've done that before. Because the guy was taller than me and he got all the rebounds and it was aggravating me. So he jumped for a rebound and then I acted like I was boxing out and I totally got away with it.
Yeah, no, that.
Have you ever tried to trip somebody?
No.
I feel like everybody's done it at least once. If you played basketball long enough, you've done at least one or two dirty moves. Come on.
You've never
elbowed anybody?
Oh, elbowed for sure. Absolutely.
I've never elbowed anybody.
I've actually warned guys in the past. Like, remember, so when the Rockets used to practice at Westside Tennis Club, when they had, because of the Rockets court being there, they had what they called the NBA Pro-Am League. And we were playing in it, and we were lighting this team up, and this dude decided to like try and take, you know, like kind of like you're talking about. When I went up for a shot, he would hit me in the hip and the side of the leg to kind of make me land funny. Yeah. And I said, dude, you do that one more time.
Yeah, that's dirty there.
And he thought I was kidding. And so I went up for a shot and I made it, but he did it again. And he went back first and he was like by midcourt by the scorer's table. And I turned around after the made shot and started to run down the court like I was just running. And I just loaded up and dropped a forearm like right under his chin and he ended up on the scorer's table. And like all hell broke loose. And at the end of it, my buddy had to pull up like his Suburban by the door of the gym so that we could get in and get out. Because Westside's not in the greatest neighborhood.
No,
and
it's not.
And we were not going to survive that.
Yeah, that's probably a smart decision. Yeah, I wouldn't do that like in like street ball. But like if there's like an official, like if there's a referee, I mean, I might find some loopholes here and there. You never know. The other thing that they never really paid attention to is like the free throw line, like at the lower level, like the officials would never check if you're going to go for a rebound after a free throw, like before you're supposed to, like before that the ball is released.
Yeah.
So I would get away with that too.
So if you're curious, Portland right now is the sixth seed, a game ahead of the Lakers, and they play the Rockets tonight. Look for them to try and absolutely annihilate your Houston Rockets.
Well, were the Suns at full capacity in terms of the roster? Because the Lakers put a whooping on them last night. Like, they whooped that ass last night.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the full box score. I know that Crowder was back from injury. I know that Ayton played. But Anthony Davis had 42.
I saw
42.
Chris Paul. I just didn't see
Paul
Booker.
Played, too. Yeah, that was a big win for the Lakers that they had to
have.
They
need it,
because LeBron is still sitting out, and they want to avoid the play-in, which they're the seventh seed currently. But like I said, they trail Portland by one, Dallas by two. And your Rockets have all but wrapped up the worst record in basketball, 16-52. No one close to that, even in the Western Conference.
Not with Cameron Oliver on the roster. We're not going to be the worst team. No, we're not.
Everybody else has at least 20 wins. The Rockets with 16. So there's a 52% chance.
It is so the Rockets for them to get that 52% chance and then not get the
They're
pick.
Getting the fifth pick. They're getting the fifth pick.
It's so Houston if that happens.
And the hardest working general manager in the league is going to have to try and find some diamonds in the rough. All right, two in the books, one to go. We'll get you top stories of the day in sports and get the third hour of the show started next right here on the Press Box. It's ESPN 97.5.